we all feel at one point locked somewhere. You try something and it doesn't work. And you don't understand because you used to do that. And why it doesn't work today? And you feel frustrated. Maybe you feel depressed. Maybe you feel sad. You don't know what to do. And this is when we are locked because we are used to do things and we don't challenge our habits. So it's at that moment that it becomes a mind trap. What worked before until now doesn't work anymore.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to the show. Really pleased to introduce you to our guest today here in the middle of season 14. Our guest name is Hortense Legentil, and she is a world-renowned executive leadership coach, speaker, and author who guides CEOs and senior executives on their journey from hero leaders to human leaders. Love that phrase, that turn of phrase. Guided by 30 years in business, working across industries, including media consulting and advertising, and as an entrepreneur. Hortense was a 2021 and this year 2023 nominee for the Thinkers 50 Coaching and Mentoring Awards, pretty cool, and has been ranked number 5 on the Global Gurus list by World Management Global Gurus. She's a certified Marshall Goldsmith stakeholder-centered coach and member of Marshall Goldsmith 100 Coaches. Marshall's been a previous guest on the show, so you know what he's bringing to the table and what that means to be one of those. She's the author of The Unlocked Leader that we're talking about today. Dare to follow your own voice, lead with empathy, and shine your light in the world. And this book is coming out just days from, if you're listening in real time, you can pre-order now, and it's just a couple days away. And if you're a couple days late catching up on today's episode, the book is out. You want to grab it. All right, Hortense, you've also written Align, Connecting Your True Self with the Leader You're Meant to Be, and you're a contributor to Harvard Business Review, ThriveGlobal.com, and been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, Inc., Business Insider, and you're talking to us today from New York. Welcome, Hortense, to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul.
Oh, hello, David. I'm delighted to be here, so thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. Thank you for being here. So, we're going to get into The Unlocked Leader and talk about freeing your voice and all of that. But before we do, I want to ask you if you could take us back to your earliest memory of yourself as a leader, wherever that might take us.
You're going to be surprised. We have to go back then. I think I was a teenager, and I was a horse rider. I was competing for show jumping. And I think that what I learned then was empathy and having a clear vision. Because this is one of, I think, maybe the only sport where you are two beings. So you have to work on yourself and with the horse, and work with the horse and make the horse, understand what you have to communicate with the horse, make the horse understand what you want, and increase the confidence of the horse, and make a team. In fact, it's all together that you're going to jump. I cannot jump by myself, and the horse can jump, by himself, but he's not going to do exactly what I want. So I think that I learned a lot from there.
I love that metaphor of, and it certainly plays a big role in your earlier book, when you talk about aligning as a leader, but that idea that you can't do it alone, you are dependent on this other being, and you really have to be in sync, and that alignment that has to happen and the relationship between you, what a great metaphor for leadership.
Thank you. This is, this is really this communication, and this is, very important point.
Well, and so today we're talking about The Unlocked Leader, and the subtitle here gives us all the details. Dare to free your own voice, lead with empathy, and shine your light in the world. And so have to know as an author why you decided to write The Unlocked Leader. Uh, and I've written 6, working on 7, is getting ready to come out now. Like, there's always a different reason for every book we write. So why The Unlocked Leader?
Because a lot have been said about why you should lead with empathy, vulnerability, empathy, and very little when it comes to the how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And those past years, especially during COVID, of course, but, you know, since we are living in this world with changing so much, very volatile, and employees, you know, expectation has changed, employees' expectations, clients' expectation, and we go from one crisis to another crisis, right? So I thought that that would be helpful, because this is what I do, you know, to work when I work with my, you know, my leaders and my clients, on unlocking themselves, free themselves, you know, from those mind traps that hold them back from whatever you want to do, for be the leader you want to be, or the human leader you want to be. So that's why I wrote the book, because I thought that I could give to people that I cannot coach, so tools and to unlock themselves, to free themselves, you know. So this is my...
Well, I appreciate that. There's so much, as you said, so much, and we talk on the show with so many different guests and have these conversations about empathy and vulnerability and influence and what it means to be human-centered. And listeners of this show will appreciate that you are all about the how, and that's what The Unlocked Leader is really getting us into. So the how. So let's start. You just brought up the idea of mind trap. So part one of the book is mind trap, identify your lock. And so you've got a number of different ways that we identify, talk about. What, let's just start conceptually. What is a mind trap, the way that you just were talking about it?
The mind trap is the mental obstacle that stand between you today and you tomorrow. Let me explain. We all feel at one point locked somewhere. You try something and it doesn't work, and you don't understand, because you used to do that, and why it doesn't work today? And you feel frustrated, maybe you feel depressed, maybe you feel sad, maybe you feel, and you don't know what to do. And this is when we are locked, because we are used to do things and we don't challenge our habits. So it's at that moment that it becomes a mind trap. Then what worked before until now doesn't work anymore.
And so when you're talking about the obviously it's mental, the thing in our mind that keeps us from today becoming who we want to be as a leader tomorrow, what are some of the most common mind traps that affect leaders specifically? And for people listening to the show, what are the things that we should particularly be looking for and be aware of as potential mind traps?
Did you never have a voice in your head who telling you, don't do that? No, 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 you cannot do that. No, 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 I never saw anybody do that. This is those voices. And, you know, they can have many shapes and colors, and but these are those voices. It's when ready again you feel these fears and it doesn't work. And you can ask me the question, maybe, where is coming from? So how can I recognize, you know, those mind traps? I can give you 3 examples. One is they can come from a trauma. Mm-hmm. That we've been through and we didn't overcome. That can be from the identity, you know, that, you know, the how we define our identity. I am a CEO. I am a manager. No, it's not who you are. It's what you do. And that can come from external voices, like we talk about collective education. And it helps us because, you know, when you were young, I don't know about you, but me, you know, when I ride, you know, the first time I ride, you know, bicycle, I had my training wheels. So I have training wheels for a while. And one day I didn't need any more training wheels, right? So this is the mind traps. This is what are mind traps. This is, if you keep those, you know, training wheels, you are not going to go far. You cannot go far. You cannot go fast. You cannot be yourself. And the problem is you don't live your life. You live a life that people want for you.
Mm.
So, for example, you are a leader. So when we talk about leader, by the way, I include everyone because at the minimum, you are leader of your life. So when you're a leader, for example, and you think that a good leader has to have all the answers, showing no emotions. And we all know that, right? We all heard that, you know, in our education, at school, at home, friends or whatever. So you think that, you know, people are expected that from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so now, can you have all the answer? Is it possible to have all the answer?
Not possible at all.
Right. So there is no playbook for everything that's happening to us. So you feel frustrated. Maybe you can feel even, you know, angry because you think you're failing. But this is not true. What is true is you are trapped. You are locked. You don't know what to do. So this is all those voices and, you know, all those, you know, where it's coming from that can be challenged.
So I want to talk just a little bit more about that. As you're talking, Hortense, I'm thinking about two conversations I had yesterday with leaders in different contexts. One of them facing some career challenges and different opportunities and was just almost head in his hands saying, I can't sell. I'm not good at sales, you know? That was the voice coming out of his mouth, and he believed it. I don't know that it was his voice. So I want to pause with that one. Then I was talking with another leader yesterday who in a matter of 30 minutes got three pieces of bad news, all of which were external, nothing internal, nothing they had control over, but externalities, three pieces of bad news that were very catastrophic to some of their strategic planning. And then within minutes of receiving all of that bad news, which just happened to come at the same time, had to go into a meeting, an event with a meeting and so on. And he was not at his best in that meeting. And he was debriefing why, what was happening. And he said, well, I couldn't show weakness. I can't go in there and be weak. And another, again, that's a voice playing in his head that says, I can't be weak, as opposed to being authentic and telling maybe not the entire group, but one or two trusted people, this is what's happening and this is what I'm wrestling with right now, and so on. So in both of those cases, what strikes me as you're talking is that those voices that they're hearing and that they are then repeating seem like their own voice. they would tell you that is what is true of me or true for me. And I know, and what you're telling us is, those are mind traps. They're a voice that is separate from whatever the authentic us is or could be, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Yeah, 100%. Those voices, so from my experience, so to, you know, to escape from those mind traps, the first things to do is transform, you know, those voices. So you can do, so what I call in the book, the mind shift. So you have your mind traps and your mind shift. And Okay, if we stay on the voices, challenge those voices. So you have those voices. Okay, I cannot tell. I heard that 1,000 of times. I cannot tell. Okay, challenge it. Ask him, is it true? So, in your life, did you ever sell anything? Maybe the answer is yes. I don't believe it, but yes. Okay. Is it relevant? I don't know. Is it helpful today? Not really. Doesn't help me if I have to sell. So, okay. So, could you just let it go and make peace? And very often, you know where it's coming from. So, if I ask you, I'm going to share with you, you know, a very great example. So, it was someone who told me the same, you know, a client, she told me, I cannot sell. I said, okay, why? And, you know, in the discussion and trying to see where it's coming from, she associated the fact to sell with, someone had something like, I think it was a peanut butter seller outside of the, because it was very, you know, it was an image of a peanut butter person who is selling peanuts outside of the tube. I remember. I laughed and I said, and what is wrong? And in fact, what was wrong is she felt aggressive, you know, he was aggressive. So she felt like, selling is, I will never sell. And she even didn't know that. But, our brain is amazing. So our brain keep everything. But it's a voice that doesn't help you. And it's not at the right place in your brain. So, you know, just, you know, being aware of it and just making peace with it and let it go. Okay, she was free. And she said, okay, so now I can do it. And so
that's an example of, so when you're talking about challenging your beliefs, that's an example of, is it true? Is even what this core thing is true? Oh no, wait a minute. Those are two completely different things. That's what you're thinking of is not what's the actual thing. And then you also mentioned relevant or helpful. There's other ways to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's three questions in seconds. So the first one is, yeah, because in case you say it's true, for example, very common example is, I should be perfect. Is it true? Very often, or sometimes, I don't know. The answer, yes, it's true. Okay. Is it relevant? Not sure. Is it helpful? Not at all. Okay, so are you okay to let go and to move forward? Because you cannot move forward. This is a problem. You know, this notion of being locked is there, is you cannot move forward.
Yeah.
So challenge those, you know, those voices. And you will see the same with your other examples of, you know, this person who had three bad news outside. You're right. So you cannot show up, and you're right. You share what you want. It's not the problem. The idea is not, okay, I take off everything and I put myself naked. No. This is not the purpose. But the thing is, it's just to be true to yourself and true to others. You know, if you had a bad news, I give you an example. It's a personal example. I had a show like we have today, we are having today, 1 month ago, 2 months ago, whatever. And just before the show, I had, you know, my parents called me, my mother called me, and my dad was very, you know, very sick. Just 5 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
My team told me, we can cancel. I said, no, I'm not going to cancel, but I'm going to tell him. So I told him. And he changed everything, the dynamic. And I felt, and she, same, he said, we can cancel. I said, no, we're going on. But if sometimes I am a little down, you know, that's only the reason why. I felt better to tell the truth and not pretend to be, you know, because I'm just a human being. And the person in, you know, in front of me was able to connect with me. And maybe the audience or so, I don't know, because I don't know. But you can connect with this person. And this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. And part of that, you know, even in the title of your book, The Unlocked Leader, so in freeing your voice, it's about leading with empathy, shining your light in the world. Part of where that comes from is with the being human and that element of humanity that we all share, some of our suffering and some of those challenges, we all have that in common. And so being able to, as you've mentioned, it's not about sharing it all and just dumping all of it all over everybody, but to be real in appropriate ways is going to help us to be more influential and connect with others.
Yeah, because we are talking, so in the book, and you are talking about being human, and I'm talking about, you know, moving from hero leader to human leader. Mm-hmm. And you're going to ask me, why should I do that? It's because expectation change, like we said, and see the young generation, expectation for our employees, expectation for the environment, everything change. And people, they need and they want to connect with you. They don't need another hero, like Tina Turner said. No, we don't need another hero. We need a human being, someone with who we can connect. And how do you connect? By sharing, listening, and taking care of people, not being this super person, superhero who comes in the room and say, "Hey, I know everything. Follow me." Nobody's going to follow you. People are going to follow you because they trust you. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, what a leader is: somebody that you want to follow.
And part of that trust, and part of that credibility and that connection is, it really entails what you're talking about in your book of unlocking and getting authentically your own voice. And so that conversation we've been having about identifying those other voices and where they come from. And you mentioned, you know, there's trauma, there's other people. I had a voice like that played in my mind for many, many years, who was a former boss, former CEO that I worked for, who could be very critical. And his voice would just play in my mind until I was able to free myself and say, that's not relevant. Yeah. It's not true in every situation, to use your language. It's not true in every situation. Definitely not relevant, and 100% not at all helpful.
So, challenge
that. Yeah. So yeah. You also have in the book, you talk in part two, when we're talking about mind shift, you mentioned earlier, and freeing your voice. So we've been talking about challenging those beliefs. Mm-hmm. And you say that changing our mindset starts with the stories that we tell ourselves. And you have some good insights around how that works and what's happening in the stories. So we're talking about finding order in chaos, and you talk about the filters and the meaning making and so on. Help us understand that when we're talking about the stories that we tell ourselves and how that helps us in this mind shift to free our voice. Mm-hmm.
So here, I think we have just to understand how brain is working. So our brain has, I think, you know, from the research, it's not me, I didn't say that, but people, you know, neuroscience say that we have 100 billions of cells who are connected to 1,000 to 10,000 other cells. And on that, you receive, you know, every second, 11 million of info per second. So our brain is like, you know, did you see the movie The Fifth Element, Luc Besson? This is our brain. with, you know, the car and, you know, everything flying everywhere, you know, the building and everything. This is how, you know, our brain is working. So we are making connection. So the voices that we are talking about, the voices, what you heard, you know, your education at school, at home, your community, your, you know, all the voices are here and all connected. So you make connection. At one point, like we said just before, it helps you, like the training wheels, but at one point it doesn't help you anymore. And our problem is we never challenge. So we think it's like that and forever until we die. No, absolutely not. You know, the human being that we are all evolving. So we evolve. So we need to evolve also, the way we think, we are thinking, and to change, you know, in your brain, to change the connection that doesn't work anymore. So this is, and what we do is our brain explains everything by telling stories. So we tell story. So we have our own story and we have the story that other people are telling you. And so it's very noisy here. You know, they are very, very, you know, very busy. And so the thing is, those stories are not always yours. And in order to write your own story, to be the author of your own story, you have to clean, to do the housekeeping, and to put back in connection what is you. But you need courage to do that because it's hard.
It's very, and very tough work.
Tough work. And the first thing is to face your fears, because you are used to be successful like that. It worked.
The stories that we have relied on worked to a certain extent. We've had success based on those stories, and it can feel scary to abandon or set aside those stories that have been the source of our success in the past. But we're not going to become the full version of ourselves, and we're not going to free our own voice until we're willing to set aside those stories.
Exactly. It's exactly that. And think like that. So when you talk about your fears, you think about your fears, sorry. Having this conversation with your fears, because I think that fears are part of a human being. So we all have fears, little fears, big, you know, big fears, whatever it is, but it's part of who we are as a human being. But here we're talking about the fears of failing, for example, because like you said, you have been successful like that. The fear of facing your emotion or chaos or whatever. The first thing is having this conversation and envision the scale. A scale. On one side, you have the status quo. The other side, you have the change. So status quo is nothing is going to change. It's somewhere secure. Your brain is secure. Oh, it's habits, secure. I know. In the other hand, you have, you know, the possibility to something, to create something better, to be really yourself. So it's risky, but you can gain a lot. And I think that when we were talking with American people, you can get that in 1 second, right? Because I feel like in America, this is, you know, the source of America, this freedom to, okay, let's try for a better world, right? So let's try for a better you. And face those fears. You know, make a deal with your fears. Okay, I do that. Don't worry. Okay, I know you're here. I'm being very, very careful. And you do step by step. You don't have to change everything in 1 minute. You can do step by step. And you can find support to do it. But this is very important. So challenge your fears. Begin here. And after a challenge, you know, your beliefs, for example, if I just give two examples. Yeah.
One of my favorite on this topic, one of my favorite as an author, I read Julia Cameron, and she's written many, many books on writing and authorship. And she addresses this, the self-defeating beliefs and self-criticism and those voices. And one of the suggestions she makes is to give that voice a name. So she calls, and she's written 70 plus books. And she said, every single one of them, she said, I have Nigel. That's who she's named her internal critic. Nigel sits there and berates her. This book is dumb. There's no one wants to read this. Why are you bothering? She says every single time. And so I have to tell Nigel, Nigel, not right now. Go sit in the corner.
Exactly.
And so she hasn't been able, and I think that there's some truth to this for me sometimes, is that it's not that I'm going to completely eliminate that.
No.
But I can learn how to manage it. I can learn how to, for it to no longer have power, so I can free my own voice.
Yeah, exactly that. This is what I call conversation. And yes, you can call to my son, every time she has, you know, this old voice, I say, oh, it's again your little, your black bird. And, you know, and he's,
the black bird. I like that.
The black bird. And, you know, he's smiling. So it's over now because, oh, yes, of course, it's a black bird. And have fun with them, in fact, you know. But the truth is you have to be aware of them.
Yes.
They are here. Be aware. You have this conversation. And, yeah, give them a name. This is great because storytelling, we are a storyteller. So, you know, you're going to tell the story. And if you can communicate, you can give a story to, you know, the voices inside yourself, it changes everything. Because it's like friends or not friends, but it's your community. It's part, you know, again, so imagine that you have your fifth element here, you know, in your brain. Whew, you have a lot, you know, to deal with. So choose your path.
Carefully, yes.
Carefully, yes.
All right. So the name of the book is The Unlocked Leader, Dare to Free Your Own Voice, Lead with Empathy, and Shine Your Light in the World. And we're speaking with author Hortense Le Gentil. And so we've been talking about the voices that play in our head that are not our voice, but that can keep us trapped, the mind traps that keep us from being our best authentic self. And then we've been talking about some different strategies to free your voice by challenging those beliefs, asking, is it true, relevant, or helpful? Looking at the stories that we're telling ourselves and looking at the different kinds of stories and what those can be and replacing and telling different stories that are more helpful. Mm-hmm. You also recommend that we haven't talked about yet is viewing yourself out from outside of your own frame. And I thought that was another interesting approach to this, to once again create separation from that voice versus our authentic and then start to mind shift. So what is viewing yourself from outside? How is that? How does that work?
So you're talking about my exercise with a vision?
Yeah, the view from outside the frame. So you talk about hitting the wall and then the gift of external perspective. Yeah, so how we go about getting that?
Yeah, so so when you're locked, so you're hitting the wall, for example, and so you know, something happened, like I share in the book a personal story when I was very sick. So here we are. You hit the wall. So what can you do? And the way to do it is, well, again, it's always the same story, is to be aware of it and accept it. So you accept it, aware of it, and your body, our mind is stronger than our body. Our body gives us a lot of clues and information. If you don't want to hear, your body is going to tell you, stop. And so you have to be aware of that. And from there, what you do? It's time to change. And it's time, you know, to envision yourself and recreate, think about what you want to do. And be really very honest with that. And think about your life, who you are, what you want to be. And it's time, and it's time to move forward. And like we said before, it's time to face your fears. It's okay to have fears. Have this conversation when you're ready. When you're ready, take your time, make a plan. Okay, we do that. So very often what I feel helpful is to see yourself very far away. Because sometimes what I'm going to do in 2 years from now, 5 years from now, especially when you do a lot of change, it's hard, you don't know. So go back to the end. Go to the end. So I like, you know, I change a little subject here, but the eulogy exercise. So write your eulogy, how you want to be remembered as a person, as a leader. What do you want people to tell about you? And this is at that moment that you can see yourself in the future. So there are some exercises, yes, to facilitate that. And one of them is, I like to, you know, separate you from now to you tomorrow. And you can just, by your imagination, you know, you imagine that you are at the movie. And so you're sitting here. So you have to do it very slowly, but sitting here, imagining that you are on a movie. It's a personal movie, a theater. So you're just alone. You're just well. And, you know, the movie start. And what do you see? And the main character is you. And you can give another name to your future you. So it's not David, it's Scott. And what Scott is doing, and what Scott wants to do, what Scott, you know, is afraid about, and things like that. And this is a good exercise. This is...
it's an incredibly powerful exercise to do.
I love that. I love this exercise. And you can do it differently, so I explain more in the book, but...
Chapter nine in part three of the book. So Hortense walks you through exactly how to do this. But the value here is in looking at yourself in the third person. And a couple of things that come for me from that exercise is that it's so challenging sometimes. We can be so hard on ourselves and have a natural empathy for other human beings. So when we can put ourselves out there and go, okay, what's that person doing? Oh, they're doing this. It's much more, we have more understanding for that person. And it's like, okay, well, but that's actually you. Oh, and it's almost like I can borrow that understanding for them and it becomes understanding for me. And like you said, the power of writing your eulogy, that's an exercise I have done as well, and so powerful in terms of the way that it programs your brain to start making the decisions and doing the things and living out that story in the present.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. This is very powerful. And that gives you this ability, because when we talk about yourself, if I talk about you, okay, David, you know, you should do that, you know, let's do that. Sometimes you know, we are a little locked because we are talking about us. We don't like that too much, in fact, you know, very often. But if we are this third person or second person on the screen and really you play the game and you go through process, of course, there are process that, please follow the process, by the way. So, because it doesn't work. If you follow the process, you will see, you can imagine everything and you can go and you can understand and feel much better what is true. And after you come back to yourself, of course. And Steven Spielberg is using that very often. And he is doing that in, you know, when he makes his movie, he has his scenario, but in fact, he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen next, but he has this big vision, you know, this is what I want to do. How? I don't know exactly, but let's go. And he is somewhere this third person, you know, when he's, you know, making his movie.
Absolutely. Well, Hortense, we've covered so much in terms of unlocking our voice. There's one more question I want to ask you that as we start getting into some of the leadership practices, which there's so much more in the book and listeners can check it out. Where do we connect with you, find the book? Where should we go for more?
So you can, of course, on LinkedIn. I am very present on LinkedIn, Instagram. And also, I have a website. So to my name, HortenseLegentil.com. Or I think there is a cut with HLGconsulting.org. You can find also there Amazon, and you can find the book everywhere on Amazon and everywhere, you know, in the bookshop, at the airport, I hope. No, in January, you know, in the airport.
Very good. All right. Well, I hope you, listeners, take advantage of the opportunity to connect with Hortense on LinkedIn and then take advantage of the book. So Hortense, the final question I want to ask you as we get close to our time together today is, as we're leading with empathy and becoming a more human leader, one of the strategies that you recommend, a practice to better connect with others that you recommend, is learning to listen more and speak last. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you might talk to us about that strategy, and it's a very practical thing to do. So what do you mean by that? And why is that an invitation that you make, that you recommend? Mm-hmm.
So if you want to connect with people, and especially when you are a leader, empathy becomes by yourself. And if you want to learn how to be more empathetic, you have to listen. You have to learn how to listen, how to observe, and let, you know, others speak. Because very often, you just arrive in a meeting or whatever and said, okay, let's do that, and you have your agenda, and you go there, and bye-bye. No. If you want to know more about the person in front of you, this is one of my, personally, I just love that. I could spend hours, you know, just watching at people, because you just, the body language, eyes, everything, they tell you more than what people are telling you. And you as a leader, you need to know what people don't tell you, because this is what is important. It's not what they say, it's what they don't say. And also, if you want to be human, if you want to be empathetic, because what is empathy? What that means to be the empathy? Empathy means to the ability to feel with. It comes from, you know, German word, feel with. So really, typically is that. So you feel this person. And after, you come back to yourself. So it's a bit, you know, the same process. And you can understand this person. You can help this person if this person needs help or whatever. But this is important. And you have to practice to do that. Practice, you know, put in your daily daily rendezvous with yourself. Speak, let's listen. So, and you practice. You say, hello. Who wants to, you know, to begin the meeting? Whatever it is, you practice. And the more you practice, the more you're going to learn. And the more you're going to learn, the more you're successful and good leader and good human leader you're going to be, because you can connect with people.
One of the questions that I have been asked sometimes when I'm discussing this sort of strategy, from leaders who have integrity and they feel that they're worried about being disingenuous. If there is a decision that has to happen or a direction we need to go or something of that nature that they have either decided or was decided for them, mm-hmm. in some level. And they worry that if I ask everybody to speak and then I speak at the end, I'm not genuinely soliciting. I'm not genuinely asking, because there's a direction we're going to go. So if I wait till the end to say that, then I'm just frustrating everybody. And that's not what you're saying.
No.
So for that leader who's confused about that, how would you clarify for them?
So it's a balance, as always, because sometimes as a leader, you just have to give direction and, you know, to take decision. So it's all a question of balance, of question of, okay, if you are in a meeting, what is the agenda? What do you want? You know, what do you want at the end of this meeting? You know, what are the problems you want to resolve? What you want to talk about? And if there are decisions to make, who is going to take the decision? You or somebody else? But it has to be clear.
Absolutely.
Who is a decision maker? If you are not a decision maker because you decided that it's going to be another person because you trust this person, but you want to help, you know, to help, you know, to take the decision. So you ask questions, you listen, you ask questions and things like that, but you don't show up with your answer right away. So it's really a question of balance. It's not a question of, oh, I don't say anything and, you know, no. Yeah, true. It's not a question of be silenced, don't talk anymore. But, you know, I don't think anyway it's going to happen. But see, it's really a balance. It's really don't show up with, we do that, like a machine. Exactly. But show up much more like a human being and have a habit, you know, how you open. If you are clear on your agenda, what what the question you want to resolve in this meeting, who is in charge of what, who is going to take a decision, and if it's you that you're going to have to take the decision, you will take the decision.
And two of the most important things you can do kicking off any decision making: what is the decision? Let's be very clear about that. And then who owns that decision? Is it a single person? Is it a vote? Consensus, to as clear as we can be about that, is empowers everyone, and then we can listen to all of the perspectives. And
exactly, and yeah. And at the end, if it's, you know, you are the one who needs to decide, you decide, and you say thank you, and you decide.
Exactly. So fantastic. All right. Well, that's just one of the many techniques that Hortense makes available. The book is The Unlocked Leader: Dare to Free Your Voice, which we spent most of our time talking about, the freeing your voice, and then just starting to touch on leading with empathy and shining your light in the world, which is a byproduct of freeing your voice, unlocking that voice. Hortense LeGentile, our guest today. Hortense, thank you so much for being a guest with us today.
Thank you, David, for having me. It was a joy.
Now, it's been our pleasure. And listeners, I encourage you to listen to those voices, identify them, challenge them. Is it true? Is it relevant? Is it helpful? And be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.